Welcome back to an exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. Today we have a guy that did a film, directed a film about a red car. And that's all we can really talk about it because the whole film's only 17 minutes long. So if I tell you guys anymore, it's going to ruin it, but he's going to get into it. Welcome to the show, the director of the show. Short.
Richard Prendergast.
Yeah, see, I can't say that, so we had to do it. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for staying up late for me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's just been a crazy weekend. So I guess we got to start at the beginning. We're going to blow the whole film right now, everyone. Just get ready. We're going to talk about it all.
Spoiler alert.
It's only 17 minutes. It's really good, so go see it. And just put this on after you watch it. Fair enough?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that would be fair.
I guess we got to start. Why does the car have a name?
The car has a name because, well, I didn't give the car the name. It's based on a true story. And it was a story that I stumbled across on the internet, you know, one of these sort of clickbait type stories. And, it's a family that named their car, basically.
Was the name Sylvia the car in the story, or was it a totally different car name?
No. It was called Sylvia, so I kept it as true to life as possible. But I did change the car make and model because it was a really average car that they owned. Like, aesthetically, it didn't look that interesting. Obviously, meant a lot to them, but to me, from a filmic point of view, it wasn't that interesting. So we changed the car make and model, but we kept pretty much everything, yeah, as true to life as possible. And the car was called Sylvia.
So may I ask, how did you? Okay, so you read this article. It must have really felt something to you. You're like, wow, this will make a great short film.
Yeah, I've been searching around for a story for probably about 6 months, I think. And so we as a production company, I come from a documentary background, and then we went into advertising and sort of branded content. Everyone hates that phrase, but that's what we do. And we really wanted to try something in the sort of scripted narrative world, more sort of traditional filmmaking, story-led filmmaking. And I've been looking for a story that resonated for about 6 months, and I've just been reading all over the place, really, like, you know, newspapers and just sort of weird, like, blogs and, you know, anything that I could get my hands on that might just, you know, tickle that creativity. And I stumbled on this story, and it really touched me from the point of view that I have two daughters. Sabrina's got two daughters as well, and the way that she describes the car and the memories and the little things in life that you probably disregard day to day, but when they're gone, that's when you realize that you miss them. And so the one thing that really got to me was the mark on the dashboard when she described that, and the scratch on the side of the car. Now, me as a father, we bought a new TV last year, and within 2 weeks, my 2-year-old daughter had put a big scratch across the front of the TV. Now, that at the time annoyed me, but if my daughter was taken away from me the next day, I probably would never want to get rid of that TV, because that's that one, you know, that connection is there. And that's what really resonated to me. It was the little details within her story that really touched me.
I'm going to have to ask, did you try to get in contact with the original people?
Yeah, we're in contact. Yeah. Yeah. So I read the story, and all I had to work on was that because she'd sort of closed all of her social media accounts as much as you can, because she obviously got bombarded when her story went viral. And so all that I had to go off was that she was, I had her name, and I knew that she was from Greenup, Kentucky. And so I called up, oh, it's really weird. I was really in sort of like stalker sort of territory. I think I called like the school and the hospital. There was some connection to like a job that she'd done in the past. And then someone said, oh yeah, Sabrina's my cousin. I'll let her know that you're trying to get hold of her. And so they took my email address, and I think 2 weeks later she emailed me and said, what do you want? And so we had a phone call, and I told her that I really want to make a film about her story, but I wanted her permission to do it. Like, technically, you don't need permission, but I really wanted to use her letter, and so that's like a copyright issue. And she agreed to it and trusted us to you know, not do anything sort of too risque or too morbid. That was what she was really worried about, was like, please don't make it morbid. And I think you'll agree that it's not.
Oh, I don't think it's morbid in any way, but I don't think you present the story to be morbid.
No. It's just a sort of touching kind of creative take on the story.
Well, I will argue, when I didn't really know what the story's about, because I mean, I went in cold, it said based on a true story, and then you bring up a wimpy ice cream truck.
Yeah.
And you kind of pan over to the guy in the truck. And I'm like, are these people getting carved up any minute? Is that the end of the story? Because I have no idea.
Yeah.
So you kind of hinted something there.
I did. So, did you get it?
Did I get it?
Did you understand it at the end of the film?
Not really.
No, it's the most sort of contentious issue, I guess, within the film. Like, having sort of screened it a few audiences now, about 50% of the audience get it, I'd say. And the other 50%, that's always the first question. It's either, I don't understand it, or I totally understood it. I want to let you know that I got it. So basically, the ice cream man is there because she's taking this car to sell it. Then she's buying three ice creams, and there's no one else in the car. So the ice cream man is actually looking across at this empty car and this woman getting back into it with three ice creams, and he's just wondering why she's doing that. Do you see what I mean?
I do get it now. I totally missed that. I must have taken notes on the ice cream truck, and I wrote down the name of the track. Now I get it, yes.
And then the creepy thing was, because I didn't tell Sabrina, I didn't tell Sabrina that I was, that anything about the script at all. I just promised her that I wouldn't have any images of house fires, and it wouldn't be morbid in any way. So she then watched the film, and she was like, it's really creepy because I actually did that about 3 months after they had passed away. I went and bought ice creams and then turned around and was like, I don't understand why I've bought, you know, three ice creams, because she'd just done it out of habit.
That was bizarre. Okay. I knew there was something creepy going on. I shouldn't take notes. So let's ask, where'd you get a wimpy ice cream truck?
I put it out on Facebook. Does anyone know where I can get sort of a 90s looking ice cream truck? I didn't want it too new. I didn't want it too old. And someone sent me a Google Images map of, yeah, I spotted one the other day. What about this? And, yeah, I went round to the guy's house and he kindly let us use it.
Now, who's the guy in the truck? Because he's got a very distinct look, and I think you were going for a distinct look.
Yeah. We were going for a distinct look. His name's Mick, and I can't remember his last name. He's been in loads of stuff. He was in the Lego movie, and he was in Harry Potter. Not the Lego movie. What am I talking about? Yeah, no, he's got a Lego character. That's right. Yeah, he's got a Lego character. So he was something to do with the Lego movie. He was in Harry Potter and a few other films. And the guy at the end of the film who's reading the letter, he was actually the exec producer on the film. And he has a casting agency, and they're based at Pinewood Studios. And he put out a casting call. And as soon as I saw Mick, I was like, he's our guy. He looks creepy enough to play this part.
Friar Kelsey.
Is that his last name?
Yes, Friar Kelsey, Mick.
Oh, yeah, double-barreled name, yes.
I looked it up for you.
Yeah, so he's been in a few things, and I think he loves just getting involved in films.
Well, that's good for him. I mean, that's a pretty good. He's done 4 films. Like, I did Star Wars, Force Awakens, Harry Potter. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he's got the Lego character from Harry Potter or something. I remember him just pulling out some Lego characters while we were there.
Oh, good. Let's go back to the car. Now, it's a red car, which does stand out. I mean, if you had a black car, I don't think it would work as well.
Yeah.
And I definitely like the blanket in the back. I thought that was really well done.
That was Rach. That was my wife, the producer.
I thought that worked out. I thought the kids having the sucker was great. I really thought that worked. And the mom getting really pissed off about the sucker to her mom. Totally been there. I get it. Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask, how did you find one with the cassette tape?
That just came in the car. So I was looking around for that car for like 3 months, and I knew that I wanted something that it had to be British, but it also had to look American. And that car is actually based on a Chevy. So it's like, I think it was a Chevrolet. Oh, I can't remember the name of it now, but it's basically a Chevy model, and then Opel put it into production. But Opel's not really a British brand; it's a European brand, and we have Vauxhall. So it's like so Vauxhall and Opel are the same company, and it's a Chevy model. So it was a really unique car. I think there was only 3 of them left in the country when we bought it. So and it was cheap, which is what I needed. So
so I guess I'm gonna have to ask, do you still own the car, or did it move along?
No, I sold the car. Sold it to a guy in Ireland, and then he shipped it over there. So the car is gone. It was a bit sad actually, because it did really well.
Oh, sorry, I'm laughing. How was working with children?
Really good, actually. Like, it was way easier than I thought. So before the shoot, I was really worried about working with my youngest daughter, who was 2 at the time. I said to my wife, to Rachel, like, she's gonna screw up this shoot. I know she is, like, because they're kids and they're 2 years old and they don't really get what's going on. But they were really well behaved and, yeah, did everything that we asked them
to. So these are your children in the movie?
Yeah, they're our children, yeah.
Okay. I have to ask these questions.
Yeah, they're our children. It was easier to use our own children than, you know, getting other children and then get ours into childcare. So it was like killing 2 birds with 1 stone.
So let's go through the rest of the cast, since we're almost done. We've done most of it. Your female lead and her mom.
So Jolie and Gaynor. So Jolie's the lead actress, and Gaynor is playing her mom, so the nan. And I was... You know, just blown away with them. I mean, we'd never worked together before. Is that a kid coming in?
Keep going. You're fine.
we'd never worked together before. It was I'd only met Jolie once before that, and it just gelled right from the start. Like, I think even a lot of the crew hadn't met before, and everyone just got stuck in. You know, it's a short film, didn't have a lot of budget. I mean, it had really virtually nothing. And Jolie and Gaynor ended up becoming like the babysitters, which worked out really well because then the kids were really relaxed with them, and they were like a little family by the end of it. And we're all still in contact now, which is lovely. And the kids talk about them. So yeah, it was just a really pleasant experience. And then, you know, Jolie obviously carries the whole piece, you know, everything sort of rests on her. And she was just mind blowingly good, like really amazing lead actress.
So I'm going to have to ask, at the end of the film, we arrive at a house.
Yes.
Whose house is it?
What? Whose actual house is it?
Correct.
That's my best friend's house.
So he goes, okay, you can do it. Well, I mean, you only do really a front door shot. You don't go in it, so that's okay.
Yeah, we did spend about 10 hours there that night. So his neighbors were pretty pissed off by the end of it. so he just said, like, use the house and, sorry, there's a car about to go past, but I don't want to make you edit on my, it's a good time for it. So he let us use the house really kindly. Yeah, it worked out pretty well. I was pretty happy with all those sort of night shots and stuff.
So, I mean, you have a very small budget, which you've already told us. How do you feed everybody, including yourself?
Well, I don't really need feeding. I could do with going on a diet, to be honest. But the rest of the gang, we just made up sandwiches, and I cooked like a lasagna to feed like 50 people. And it was, yeah, trying to feed them as best possible, but we're in the middle of nowhere, you know, where we live. We live in a city, but the locations that we were shooting were like 20 miles out of the city, and it really is in the middle of nowhere. So it was just stocking up on sandwiches and crisps and, or chips, you know, you call them chips.
I understood, Chris. We're good.
Yeah. and feeding people that way. And the location was, again, trying to be, because it's an American story, I wanted to at least give a nod in the direction of where Sabrina's from. And so I tried to use as many sort of flat vistas as possible to sort of emulate it and be kind of in keeping with the original story.
I will argue with you. I knew you were in England. It's first shot. I'm like, that's England. As soon as the film starts, because to me, I watch so much film, like, that's not Canada. That's got to be it looked like Wisconsin or some of those American cities to me off the beginning. But I knew it didn't look quite right. I'm like, that's England for sure. And then she gets in the car. I'm like, oh, that's the end of that. I know they're in England.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to make it look like America, but I just wanted to at least give a nod to the original story.
Okay, so your film is done. You have it edited, it's packaged, it's ready to ship out. How do you get people to see it?
God, good question. So right now we're following the whole film festival circuit, which is like a, you know, a whole world of its own. I don't really understand it. Rach is on top of all of that stuff. So I'm not really the best person to speak to about it, but we're going to let it go through the festival circuit. We want to try and get Oscar qualified.
Good for you.
We qualified for the BAFTAs last year, and then we made it to the long list, So we made it to the top 20 films. We didn't get nominated. So now we're going to just try and push for the Oscars and see what happens. We're not holding our breath, but...
I still think that's pretty good. Top 20 films in your country, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would take that as a pat on my back any day. If my podcast makes the top 20 podcasts in my country, I'll take a pat in the back right there alone. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Somebody knows I exist. I take that as a positive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, we were, you know, when we got that email saying that you've gone through to the final round, it was like, holy shit, like, what does that mean? And then we called up BAFTA and they were like, oh, you're in the top 20. So we'd narrow it down to 20 films and then we judge them. And then it's the top five that get nominated.
I think that's just great. Okay. Since you haven't listened to a show, which you told me you haven't, I'm going to give you the fast version. I'm going to ask you three random questions right now before the end of the interview, and you get to answer them.
Oh, shit. Really? Okay. All right.
Everybody does it. Suck it up. Favorite car?
Favorite car? I'm going to go for this is so cheesy, but I'm going to go for a Mustang.
Well, there's lots of them. I see them. They're around. Your favorite beer?
My favorite beer? Oh, no, you're not viewing this, but
I can
Guinness.
See it. It's a Guinness. Yeah, you're English. It's usually Guinness. And because you're English, I have to ask my other favorite English question. Your favorite pub?
My favorite pub? I am going to say my favorite pub at the moment is Butcher Boys, which is an Irish bar.
Uh-oh. I don't know if you're allowed to go to Irish bars being English, are you?
No, my family's from Ireland. My family's okay. From Cork.
I got to check.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. Nobody can see your film right? Because it's on the film festival circuit, so they'll have to go look up Sylvia online and just go find a film festival with it.
Yeah, basically, we're waiting to see if we, you know, get Oscar qualified. And then if we don't, we're going to release it online for everyone to see. So we're not going to put it on like a video on demand or anything like that. We're just going to stick it out there. So I guess that would be, I guess we'll know by like September or something.
So if anybody's looking for your film, they should look at a film festival or like your Facebook page or follow you on Twitter. Does that work?
Yeah. So Sylvia Short Film. And that's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm not the social media person. I can't remember all the handles, but if you type in Sylvia Short Film, I think our Instagram is probably the best place to stay up to date on where we've been selected and where you can watch it. We're in the Carmarthen Film Festival, which is in Wales. We're at the American Pavilion at Cannes Film Festival. And I don't know what the others are, but they're the two that are coming up soon.
Well, you were awesome. Thank you for staying up late for me, and have a great night.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.